I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest star
or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you.
Hello everyone, welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and continuing on with John's picks, I picked Shady to talk about this movie today. Shady, welcome back. It's, you know, been a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been like a minute.
We did Camp Rock with D Speeds, and now you're back on your own because let me tell you, backstory listeners, and Shady can attest this because I did.
Yeah.
So I've listened to the How Did This Get Made episode on Breaking 2 Electric Boogaloo, which is what we're talking about. And I finally watched it and I texted Shady being like, is this considered a musical and do you want to do it? And you went, it's your podcast, your rules.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you make the rules. Also, but like watching it, I was like, no, this is a musical just without the singing, but it has the music, it has the structure of a musical, it runs on the logic of a musical.
So
also, for the record, I do expect to be called Boogaloo Shady for this whole
Boogaloo Shady. Okay.
Yeah.
So
instead of Boogaloo Shrimp.
So breaking two.
You could be Shabba John.
I'm just gonna be John.
Oh, okay.
So Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo came out in 1984. The screenplay was by Jan Ventura and Julie Reichardt. We're going with it. It was directed by Sam Furstenberg. That can't be right. Is that right?
No, that's his name. I just watched the documentary on Canon Movies.
Oh, Furstenberg, because Furstenberg, yes. And according to IMDb, a developer tries to bulldoze a community recreation center. The local breakdancers try to stop it. Now, I've never seen Breakin' 1, but I feel like this movie is of its own world.
Sort of. It is.
The first one, obviously, you get the backstory with the main characters and that other woman who's dating.
I'm pretty sure she's not. I have not seen it in a hot minute, but every time she popped up in this, I was like, who is
Rhonda.
This woman?
Rhonda.
I don't think she's in the first one. I don't remember her in the first one. Maybe she is.
I'm looking
but-
it up.
The love triangle, so to speak, in the first one is with Kelly in the center and Ozone on one side and Shooter McGavin on the other side, because Shooter McGavin was in that movie.
Shooter McGavin.
But I think the only repeat actors are Lucinda Dickey, Shabadoo as Ozone, Boogaloo Shrimp, and then Ice-T, who does a rap in both songs. Not really a character so much as part of the scenery.
It's weird that in this one, though, he's a character, but like a cameo?
He's involved in the plot, but not really involved in the plot at all. He just carries over from one scene to another.
Yeah, so with
this
one,
a member of their community, but a background member until he's rapping.
Yeah. And even then, I don't think I saw him in any other scenes.
No, it's just
Wasn't really paying attention, because when Turbo does the rotating room dance, it's
amazing.
It's game over.
Amazing.
That's it. That's the movie.
Yeah.
I promised myself I wouldn't spend this whole episode just talking about that. But I have a feeling we are going to just keep referring back to the rotating room scene.
It tears down the walls of reality within this movie. You are suddenly questioning what previously in the movie was reality and what was like sort of a dream sequence or like an artistic representation of the reality. But then that scene, it's kind of like, that's what's happening. He's on that ceiling dancing because because his little girlfriend comes in and is watching him. So you're like, oh, he's not imagining it. It's happening.
It's weird because Turbo, even prior to this scene, and then after this scene as well, especially like in the breakout from the hospital, he is in his own world, it feels like. And to your knowledge, in Break-In 1, is it the same where he's like...
I feel like they kind of didn't know what to do with his character too much in the first one, because he's not... he's an amazing dancer, but he's like 10 years younger than the other actors. He was like an actual teenager when making
But with
these.
A full-grown mustache in this one.
Well,
I was like, how old are these people supposed to be?
Yeah. So like, I do remember one of the scenes I remember in the first movie is him dancing by himself with a broom, and like the special effect itself is really bad because you can see the fishing line holding the broom up, but like the choreography around it is really cool, where it's supposed to give the illusion that he's making the broom like rotate and like float, levitate is what I should say. Like, and like stand up straight on its own and everything, but like you can see the fishing line holding it up. But his choreography is really great, and it's supposed to be that it's like a magic thing that's happening, but he's also the only person in that scene, so you can take it either as it's literally happening or he's just imagining it.
Meanwhile, in this one, you're like, reality? What?
Yeah, which, like, again, to a point in this one, I was like, yeah, this is another thing where it's like, this is what he's imagining himself doing, and that's really cool. And then she walks in, and I'm like, she's reacting, and they're like boyfriend girlfriend after this, despite not speaking the same language. So like that scene had to have happened, because that's the scene where they first kiss,
right? And he is walking down a wall while she is, I mean, so what I, okay, we're gonna break, or I guess we're just gonna break this scene down. So in the what's the name of the song, I don't want to come down, haha, that's literally the name of the song. They somehow got in touch with the people from A Nightmare on Elm Street, where they were filming, I guess, in the same area or something, and they got that room that they used in whatever her name is, death scene.
Tina,
thank you. I will put respect in her character name, Tina's death scene. And what Break-In did, though, was like redecorate the room, obviously, to make it different.
And I was looking this time.
I couldn't find the glove. They put Freddy's glove in there as kind of like a thank you to the crew, but I couldn't find it. So
I'll have to look for it next time I watch it.
And apparently, I mean, according to like the IMDb trivia, they wanted to do that scene because of Fred Astaire in Royal Wedding, where there's a room on a gimbal. It is. I feel like that was the first time it was done on film. If anyone's listening and is a more film historian than my stupid brain is, let me know, because I'm intrigued to find out if like maybe in silent film they figured out how to do that.
I could see like Buster Keaton figuring out how to do something similar to that, but like maybe a more primitive version of it.
But so like the Fred Astaire one, though, you see him dance around the room, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Nightmare on Elm Street, Tina's death, and at some point, someone else comes in, and you can see like over the shoulder. So now they're adding a second body into the room while she's hanging upside. Well, looks like she's hanging upside down, being stabbed to death by him. And then in this one, not only did they add, I believe the character's name is Rosa, the girlfriend. Not only did they add her leaning against the wall at one point, but like there is that one shot through the outside looking in when he's dancing on the window.
Yeah, the skylight, which is great. I actually also rewatched the Red Letter Media video when they did they did a best of the worst with all canon movies, and this was the third one that they did. And they pointed out, like, it was actually really nice. They did not have to go that extra step. That's a whole extra setup with a different effect.
Right.
And they did not have to do that. And this was a notoriously rushed movie.
Oh, yes.
This movie
oh, yeah. We,
came out, the first movie came out May 1984. This came out December 1984.
Yes. So according to the IMDb trivia, they were writing it as they were filming it at the same, like, at
yeah,
the same time.
You know, you
so,
could never tell.
So, no. So, like, but, like, they filmed the dance sequences first. So this way they can connect the dots and the screenwriters can, like, figure it out.
Which, like, honestly, that's how it should be. That's what these movies are for, is for the dancing. The dancing is genuinely great. Story,
it was whatever. I mean, it's a good story.
Yeah, it's a very shockingly wholesome story, I think,
with a lot of racism.
well,
yeah.
But it is shockingly wholesome, where it is like they've, like, essentially replaced any hint of violence with dance, which I love. I love that. And it is a story where ultimately the community comes together to support the arts, even though
right.
it doesn't provide any immediate financial value. They're like, that's not the point. That's not the point. It adds enrichment to our lives and is therefore worthwhile. This would never fly in real life. It's so sweet how it all shakes out in
just
the end.
They just happen to shame
the corporate evil man, and he's like, fine, I'll give you $10,000 instead of buying up your land and building a grocery store.
And God bless Miss Snyder, the lady on the
she's
the
like,
committee. She's
I'm
the
on
one...
your side, kids.
I mean, I honestly felt like she was the one that was delivering, like, the most, because, like, you can tell that she was also conflicted, being like, I mean, they put in a bid, so
she's like,
I'll give you 30
like,
days.
Legally, my hands are tied. This is the absolute best I can do.
Right. So, and I mean, it did seem earnest that she was rooting for them.
Yeah. And then, I mean, this movie is so wholesome. There's a scene where dancing literally brings a man back from the dead.
Okay. So that is also in The Apple. Menachem Golan is a producer
Menachem Golan is a producer
on this film, and he was the director and I believe the writer of The Apple, which happened 4 years prior to this.
So Menachem Golan and his cousin Yolan Globus, I think his name was.
They run Canon, right?
Yeah, they owned Canon at the time. And their entire business model was fucking insane. If you ever get a chance to watch Electric Boogaloo, the documentary, which is about the Go-Go Boys' tenure as the owners of Canon, some wild stories.
I love that their nickname is the Go-Go Boys.
Oh, that was the nickname they gave themselves.
Of course it was.
Yeah, and they ran an interesting business model, and there is a good reason why it did not last. But Break In and Break In 2 were two undeniable hits for them. These movies were so low budget and so popular. Like, even this one was not even half as popular as the first one, I think, but it still made, like, quadruple its budget back.
Yeah, because you can, I mean, so Canon Pictures were... We're speaking in a kind of code here, I guess. Canon Pictures are like the really cheaply made movies of the 80s. They had like $2 in a handshake.
Yeah,
they
were B movies. They were trying to be what Roger Corman had been for the previous decade since the 50s, where he turned out just very cheaply made, very quickly made B movies that made a lot of money because some at the time theaters were looking for movies to book, and studios could only make so many movies in a year, the major studios. So Roger Corman was pumping out these cheap, quick movies that they could fill in. And that became the reason why we call them B movies. They were the B tier movies at the movie theater. and they ended up ranking, like just raking up these cult followings. And Canon was sort of doing that, but also bit off way more than they could chew. And were like constantly financing 50 films in the future and then trying to get all of like 50 films made a year, which is absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. At the time, the average major studio was making maybe 10 movies a year. And that's if they were really overachieving.
And like
Probably
with
closer to eight. And they were churning out 30 movies a year, which is just fucking insane. But they were constantly taking out loans for these movies, and most of them were not hits. Most of them did not make enough money back, even like once they hit home video. Break-In is the big exception to it. Break-In just really scratched an itch that young
yeah.
people wanted to see this kind of movie.
Well, because well, so what's interesting too, I had a look. I looked up Ozone, the actor who played Ozone, Adolfo Quinones, also known as Shabadoo, which is what you referenced earlier. Unfortunately, he passed away in 2020, but
Oh.
he was one of the forefathers of hip hop dancing with his crew called the Original Lockers, and they like invented locking, pop and locking, I guess, was their
Yeah.
creation. So like when you're watching, like it's like watching Fosse do Fosse style. No, I'm
Yeah.
not, I'm like, I'm, you know,
No,
like
you're absolutely right. Like some of his moves, it looks impossible. It looks like it should not be
yes.
physically possible. It's incredible.
I will say though, I may have been a little harsh on this, and I was like, it's great dancing, but it's a little slow. Like I'm see like I've watched like America's Best Dance Crew and like a couple
Yeah.
other things where
Yeah,
there's the
you're watching all
cruise
this
and
stuff where it's been evolved 30
it's
more
yes.
years.
So watching it from the 80s, it's like, okay, this is cool, but like it's a little slow. It's a little like you're laying the it's the groundwork, which is important, but it's still like, okay, maybe we can like speed it up a little bit, guys.
Add some excitement here.
Yeah. Yes. So and then I couldn't find anything about Michael Chambers who played Turbo. Sorry, Michael Boogaloo Chambers.
Boogaloo shrimp
Boogaloo
because he's
Shrimp,
short.
excuse me.
Yeah.
Let me put also respect on his name, Boogaloo Shrimp. But I mean, they've all been the both of them have been in a couple of things at post Break-In and Break-In 2. And like, yes, they were, I see like Dancer as their credits, but I
Yeah.
mean, good for them. And like,
Yeah. And honestly, I didn't I thought Shabadoo was pretty good with the acting. I think he's charming. I think he like really sells it. Like
yeah,
not
the,
like he's not Daniel Day-Lewis, but like for somebody who's not an actor as his main trade, I thought he was really good.
and Boogaloo Shrimp was
Adorable.
adorable and good in his own movie. Whatever movie
Yes.
he's in,
Yeah, he was
he's
in like a Looney
great.
Tunes cartoon.
Literally doing the Porky Pig at the when
Yeah.
he's
He's like, whoa.
breaks out of the hospital.
Yeah, with his
Oh no,
girlfriend
Woody
who's
Woodpecker. Who's dubbed?
Oh,
They dubbed her, by the way.
oh, you can tell because her voice is.
I think it was, I think I did it. I mean,
Yeah, I
like I
know.
put
She's
on a
like,
falsetto and did
oh,
it.
he no English. Oh, boy, come over. Like, it's such like a little cartoon voice. It's
But
adorable.
even your voice sounded more feminine than it was. I'm sorry. It was, that was a weird thing.
Yeah.
Oh, so okay, we kind of talked about Rhonda, Ozone's girlfriend.
Yeah. The
However,
like unnecessarily aggressive woman.
though, in her defense, is Ozone emotionally cheating on her with Kelly?
I don't think her and Ozone are together. I think she wants to be with Ozone. That's.
Oh, is this like Cha-Cha? Cha-Cha Di
Yeah.
Gregorio?
The best dance at Saint Bernadette's.
Well, because that's the thing though. Like you can tell who's a dancer and who's an actor, quote unquote actor in this. And like Rhonda's definitely an actor.
Yeah.
But yeah, because it was weird. Like Ozone, when Kelly came back to the crew and everything, Ozone would introduce her as like his dance partner, not like, this is my ex, this is the
Yes.
girl that I fell in love with, this is whatever. But like, they are holding hands, they
They kiss.
kiss. Yes.
Wait,
So
and
are
then
they dating?
here's the th what I remember of the first break-in is like it ends with them obviously on friendly terms, and like they have been flirting throughout the whole movie, and it's clear that he's jealous of Shooter McGavin, but they don't officially hook up at the end. Like it doesn't end with them like confirming we're dating now.
And then
So
this
then
one just
I
starts with her on
this
Broadway.
yeah. But also, that's weird because I remember this. The show she gets cast in at the la at the end of the first movie is a show that all three of them have been cast in.
Maybe this is supposed, I mean, it does feel like some time has passed from the first one to the second one, so
Yeah, I guess so.
because like they
And they just didn't
Miracles
want to
is a
keep doing it.
huge ass building. And apparently they cleaned it out and zhuzhed it up and
Yeah,
painted
because
and everything.
it's brand new. It was not seen in the first movie. Kelly doesn't know about it.
Right. So I'm assuming at least a year passes
More
from what you're
time
telling
than
me.
what must have passed in between, like the actual time that these movies were released, because it's literally like 6 months.
Yeah. Oh, God. Fucking love the 80s.
Man.
Would you say though that Break-In was the first movie to like do hip hop and like
Yes.
ballet or contemporary? So like without Break-In, we
Yes.
wouldn't have Step Up
Yeah.
or Save the Last Dance, which is what I saw a lot in this movie.
It's more jazz than ballet, but like it still has a lot of the same foundation as ballet. But like this was the first movie to really free feature breakdancing at all,
True.
let
Yes,
alone breakdancing mixed with more classical forms.
because I feel like it was still in its infancy at the time. Like
It
breakdancing, I
was
think,
not yet
started in like,
mainstream. It
and
started in the 70s.
this probably helped it get mainstream because it made so
Yeah.
much money.
So breakdancing, as to my knowledge, started in the 70s along with the rise of hip hop just as a subculture and as a music scene. But it was very much a street thing. It was very much an urban thing. This was like, you know, this was at a time where even when MTV finally premiered, they didn't show hip hop music videos at all, even though it was becoming more popular on the radio. So how would you see the dancing that went along with it? They weren't showing music videos for songs that had break beats in them. So the closest you were getting was Michael Jackson, which that was jazz dancing. That was not hip hop dancing, what he did really.
Right. Oh my God, I love the little kid in this movie that recreates Thriller. It's
It's so cute. I love
adorable.
all anytime they cut to like those like little kids, that like little gang of kids. I'm like, you kiddos.
Like the one sitting in the what is that, a bulldozer? What was that one? The one with the giant thing, and they're sitting in there just like, you can't kill us.
Yeah. It's so cute.
God.
And in real life, they would have killed them and gotten away with it legally.
Well, because it's fascinating that there's this whole mob of people, and then angry white businessman whose name I forgot and I don't really care.
The guy with the teeth.
With the veneers, yes. Huge veneers. Like, they're fake. They can't be real. They have to be
N
fake.
Nature did not grow those bones.
No. He tells them to, like, keep moving while there's a mob of people protesting them. And then Turbo shows up in his hospital gown and casts because he falls down some stairs earlier.
He fell down like a flight of concrete stairs. But
While,
I
yeah.
don't think there was there a reason why he fell just so that they could do the hospital scene? Because
Yes.
it's barely a conflict at all. Like
So, like, the main
It gets
conflict of
resolved
this.
as quickly as that conflict gets resolved as quickly as it
Super
happens.
fast. Like,
It's just an excuse to get them in the hospital for that dance
I feel
with
like
the
even the main
sexy
conflict.
nurses high kicking over the phone lines.
Sexy nurses. I gotta say, they were very sexy
They
nurses.
were very sexy. Legs for days.
No Selma Hayek, but they were very sexy nurses. The main conflict of the movie, where Mr. Veneers wants to destroy Miracles,
Miracles.
the recreation center that's for,
Yeah.
like, because they're in LA, right? We're assuming that.
Yes.
It seems it's not
Yes.
New York. That's
No,
all
it's
I know.
LA. It's got to
Yeah.
be LA.
So they are doing Mr. Veneers wants to tear it down to put up either a grocery store or a mall. They're not even sure half the
Yeah,
time what it
they
is.
say shopping center and then they say grocery store, which I guess
So,
could be the same thing, but I would not call a grocery store
and
a
then you see
shopping
the
center.
model and you're like, that looks like a mall.
Yeah.
So then, but like once that is done, then we have another like 15 minutes left of the movie. And I'm like, what's the, of course, they have to do a fundraiser to save it because
Yes. Well,
miracles.
all they did was guilt him into donating money instead of buying the plot. Like, so he resends his bid, but they still need to get it to
Get
not
more
be
money.
condemned because that building is about to be condemned.
Well, because
So
that
they need
building is
to.
also not structurally sound, is what they say, right? Like
Yeah.
there's a lot of issues that they need to
Yeah.
fix.
So they still need to raise like $200,000, which is a lot today. Like, my gosh, in 1984 times.
Well, look how big that building is.
That's true.
That's a lot of
That's true.
fixing.
You know what? We are lucky that all of those children survived to the fundraiser, honestly.
Well, and what's fascinating is that Miracles has literally everything. I mean, granted, it is a man, it's huge. It's a giant
Yeah,
building
it looks
that,
like a
wait,
Capitol building.
what did you call it? Would
Oh,
you text
yeah,
me?
it's a shame that these days, if that building did exist in real life in 1984, by now it would be an Amazon warehouse.
Yeah, or it's Google.
Or
It's a Google
Google.
offices
Oh, God.
with
Oh,
a
Jesus.
giant
I know. It would
Starbucks
not
on
be enriching the community. It would just be driving profit for the 1%.
the ground floor. Like, I want to emphasize just how big this building is, and
It's
like,
like the Capitol building. That's what
yeah.
it looks like. It's got the dome on top and everything.
And when you walk through it, you see the dance classes happening, and then there's a boxing ring. Like, my favorite was when
They say there's art, there's a mime.
there's
There's just a mime hanging around.
a mime whose name is Magician. And he's in it a lot. Magician is in it a fuck ton. And his makeup changes every time he's in.
Yeah, he kind of reminded me of Ethan Hawke's character in The Black Phone with the mask that he just changes out the pieces,
Oh
but
my
it's with his
God.
makeup instead.
And he's a good dancer too, I will say. I
He
don't. Let
is.
me see if I could find Magician. Magician is played by Don Lewis, who is known for. Oh, okay. So he was in Robin. Oh my God. He plays a mime in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
So he's probably a famous mime. He's probably
Probably.
as famous as you can possibly get doing mime.
He hasn't been in a lot of things though. But yeah.
He's
And
big
he
in France, I bet.
maybe. Who knows? He's got in his IMDb picture though, he's got like a old hippie look to him. Like
Huh.
he definitely went to Woodstock and mimed out
They probably loved him at Woodstock.
there. Oh my goodness. Okay, so I want to talk about Kelly for a little bit because
Lucinda Dickey, love her.
I mean,
She has
she's a
not done a
great
lot. She,
dancer.
yeah.
And she's like Miss Cannon as well, I feel like.
She was in another movie.
Ninja 3 Domination.
Yes, yes. So here's the fun thing about the ninja movies. That is an anthology trilogy. And the first two are not called Ninja or Ninja 2. So it's like...
So it's Breakin' and Breakin' 2 and Ninja 3 Domination.
Yeah, basically. No, it's like they made three movies in quick succession and they use I can't recall the guy's name, the martial artist. I can't recall his name, but he's one of the leads in each of the movies, but he plays a different character in each movie.
Sorry, hold the phone. I was looking up Lucinda Dickey's IMDb credits. She was a girl greaser in Grease 2.
Stop.
Wait,
I'm gonna
look
for her next time I watch Grease 2.
She's not my greaser girl. I don't think she's my greaser girl. No, she doesn't have the My greaser girl is the one with the glasses and the pigtail braids.
Oh no, that's definitely not her.
That's not her. No. She's a different greaser girl, but still, like, good for her. And then it was literally Grease 2, Breakin', Ninja 3 Domination, and Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo. So like she was super busy for the year 1984.
Yeah, they really tried to make her a star. They really tried to make her like their go-to girl and for like a year there.
I mean,
she was really good personally.
Yeah, the acting level of this movie, that's the thing with B movies, with canon films, they're not the best.
Right. You're always going to grade it on a curve as far as the skill involved.
Because like a lot of the adults in this movie, like the older actors, are the ones that I was like, oh no, you probably have a more like character actor, bit player.
Yeah. Little Caesar. What's his actual name? Harry Caesar, who plays the guy who owns or like runs. I guess he doesn't own it. It's owned by the community. But the guy who runs Miracles, he was an R&B singer like way back in the day. And he had like
that
a few.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So he was like a name.
Her Kelly's parents.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, granted, the dad is whoa.
I mean, sir, you gotta at least hide it better. My gosh, they make dog whistles for a reason.
At least the mom hid it. Yeah, she was not. She was like white lady sweet when it comes.
Yeah,
to
Yeah, she was like condescending, but I think she didn't realize she was being condescending.
She's misinformed. How about that? We'll classify her as misinformed because like she's even
but
the
she
one.
She could change. She could change. There's potential for her.
She's the one who's like Kelly's down at the rec center with her dancer friends. Yeah. Whatever. Like literally when. The ending when they're doing the street festival and they're on the news or whatever, the dad is like, "That's Kelly. What the fuck is she doing with those?" He like you could tell he's like
he
3 seconds away
close.
From saying the N-word.
He really wanted to say some slurs.
But then her mom is there and she's just like, "Oh look, it's Kelly. What has she done with her hair?" Like. She's such a mom, like honestly. And like when Turbo and Ozone come for dinner, she talks about the fashion because
she's like, "Oh, you have such interesting fashion, and it's rubbing off on Kelly
and our daughter." And like,
So she has a concern with aesthetics, but she's not like, "How dare you be friends with people in a lower class than you." Dare you be friends with people not the same color as you.
Right. Also, she's not like, "Kelly, you're like changing a lot. Are you sure you want to do this?" Like, she's not.
Yeah.
She's kind of,
it's unexpected for her, but she's trying to go with it.
Yes. She's also like even when, again, the dinner, when Derek, Fucking Derek.
Wait, hold on, real quick before you say what you're gonna say. When Derek knocks on the door and Kelly goes, "Oh, that must be Dad." Bitch, why would your dad be knocking on the door? Why wouldn't he just walk in?
But when Derek just shows up, she's also like, "I didn't invite him. It's not me. Don't blame me. I'm the cool parent. I'm learning. Yeah. I'm unlearning and learning."
Yeah, she's like, "Oh, Dad must have invited him because it wasn't me."
Yeah. Oh my God.
But also, she calls him her fiance, and no, he's not.
Right. Well, no, she. Well, does the mom call her the fiance, or is that?
Yeah, she does.
Maybe.
And then, like, if there is a storyline where Kelly was engaged to this guy and broke it off, they don't bring it up.
Unless it was in Breakin', and
it was not in Breakin', because that guy was not in Breakin'. It was Shooter McGavin.
Oh, Shooter McGavin. Unless he's supposed to be Shooter McGavin, but they recast him.
They made him a lot more obnoxious and worse.
Well, they were like, we need more of a white guy.
Yeah, we need somebody really embarrassing.
Yeah. Okay. So, but with Kelly. On the How Did This Get Made episode, they debate over what she should have done. Go to Paris, go to Princeton, stay with Miracles. One of the hosts, I'm not gonna throw them under the bus. One of the hosts wanted her to like live life, go away, you know, go to Princeton, go to Paris and everything, which I can see that, you know, it's an experience, and she's dancing. She's still doing everything. She could have used, like, when her dad bribed her. Yes, that was terrible. With a very shirtless Ozone who zips his pants up, by the way. Did you notice that? I was like, good sir, why are we zipping up our pants? But he bribes her to go to Princeton or something and leave Miracles. And like that was a sizable amount of money that he was going to give her, that she could have just been like, here, Ozone, now Dad, pay for my tuition. Goodbye. Like, that could have happened. But honestly, I personally like the flow of the movie. Because, like,
I do too.
Yes, Kelly has that drive. She auditioned for Paris. She hated the Broadway show or whatever, wherever they are. I don't know if they're on Broadway. Maybe
it's LA
musical
theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they even, like, even in the beginning, they're like, this show sucks. We're never going to last. But she, like, she's dreaming big, but like also the power of friendship, and like,
which is what it's all about, you know, the combined power of friendship and dance. And like, I understand the argument that she's at the point in her life where she should experience new things, and Paris would bring that to her, and Princeton would bring that to her. But Miracles is also bringing that to her, because that's not the community she was from. She is new to that community. She's being invited in.
She's a rich white woman. Yes.
Right. She is being invited in. It is a multicultural place. There is, like, again, going back to like the wholesomeness of like this movie, and like, friendship and dance will bring us all together, and everybody loves funding the arts. We like actually do that in this world, which is not something we do in reality. And I wish we did. But like, on top of that, it is like, it does like portray this kind of beautiful moment where you've got Ozone, who is Afro-Latino, and Turbo, who's Black, and then Kelly, who's white, and just treating each other as equals. And like, that's kind of revolutionary for 1984.
Yes, not just our main characters, everyone at Miracles is every color under the sun.
And and they're all just living in harmony and respecting each other and working with each other. It's they are just brought together by their love of the arts, which is wonderful.
And even so, I mean, yes, I feel like Kelly is more of a performer because that's all we've seen of her. But there's also in like one of the 7,000 montages in this movie.
Oh, this movie is like one giant montage.
So I renamed this movie, by the way. It should be called Montages and Belts.
Okay.
Because
Are the
everyone is.
handcuff belts?
I think it's one belt that everyone shared.
Yeah, they're just
The hand.
passing it around.
Yes. But
Well,
like
it's the
Turbo
handcuffs
wears.
with a different belt each time. Like they're just taking the handcuffs off and like.
Well, Ozone and Kelly, it's the same exact belt. It's the handcuffs
Because
on
they
one side and the
fucking.
studs. Well, of course they're fucking. But also shoestring budget.
Right.
And Ozone wears like a minimum of five belts at a
At all
time.
times. Yeah.
What was the point I was trying to make though? Oh, so in one of the 7,000 montages, when we're you see Kelly at Miracles teaching, which I mean, I feel like that could also help her get her creative juices out. And
Yeah.
like, although she wanted to run rehearsals, what for the street fair or whatever they call it, I feel like she had a heavy hand in choreographing it. Like
Yeah.
in the world of the movie, I'm
Yeah, yeah,
gonna
yeah.
say that.
I get what you mean. And she definitely like, because they do a lot of her style jazz in that number. That's all her. That's not Ozone and
Right.
Turbo.
Right. And I feel like there's like a moment where it's like her and four other women, and I feel like they reprise the stuff we see in the montage. I feel like I'm not
Yeah.
100% sure, because like we didn't really talk about the songs. This movie is like also wall to wall music, it feels
Yeah,
like, and
but
they reprise a lot of it.
mostly like actual old school hip hop, meaning just like wall to wall break beats
So, but
and
like
not a
at the
lot of
time
actual.
it was modern at the time. We're
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
looking back and it's old school.
Yeah. I agree with you that like she it's I feel like she's really getting something there, being a teacher, sharing her love of dance and spreading it down to other generations who don't have the same opportunities as her.
And getting able to like express herself with
Yeah.
things. And like, yes, Paris, yes, Princeton, but like sometimes you want to teach. Like
Yeah.
that could drive her.
You have a
And
calling in life, you got to follow it.
she's years old. Like
Right.
who
Also,
got
she's seemingly an only child. When her ba parents die, she's gonna get an inheritance.
Of
Like
course.
she's not in a situation where like she needs the job.
Right.
There's never an idea. She wants the job because it's a good performance opportunity, but she's never like, I really need this job. This is exactly the kind of money I need to be making right now. And you know what? Princeton, she's gonna be studying too hard all the time. She's not gonna get to pursue dance. Like Princeton's a competitive school.
It's yeah, and even Paris is going to be super competitive.
Yeah. Whereas like she's finding an actual communal experience with the dancing she's doing at Miracles. It's all about collaboration and
And
it's I mean they have
like,
their dance battles with the other group, but like it is a group thing.
okay, that dance battle that happens with whatever the other group is called. I
They're like
don't.
electro shock or something.
Sure, let's go with it. I don't know why, because like what was also a great thing in this is that Ozone, though the leader, is not like hyper masculine or alpha
No.
male, I should say,
Yeah.
where there is a moment where he's like, hey, leader of this other gang, let's like let bygones be bygones, and like we live like in the same town, so can you help us with
Yeah,
saving Miracles?
this would
Like I don't
benefit
know,
you as a member of our community.
because it feels like, from my lack of knowledge of Breakin', the first movie, it feels like Ozone and Turbo and their crew, for lack of a better term, are street kids.
Yeah.
They probably are like, I don't know why I just thought of this. They probably were like the Outsiders, where they're all living in a house together, and Ozone and Turbo are looking out for the youngins, but like
Yeah.
everyone is.
Oh.
That's how I imagine it. From
Well, they
what,
live in that like little shack thing, like that.
but I mean, like
Yeah.
not seeing
But
the
I get.
first one, but like they look out for each other. They're probably homeless, or they were in foster care, or so. I'm giving
Yeah.
my own spin. I'm
Well,
not saying this
listen,
is
this
it.
movie is not giving you any backstory to work with, so you got to do what you got to do.
Right. So I feel like they are definitely like the older kids looking out for the younger ones. And so at that moment, it felt like, hey, man, like, you got your crew, I've got my crew. We both like came up in the streets and everything, but do you mind helping us out? And then we can go back to hating each other. Because, like, honestly, I don't understand why that other crew, I guess it's because of the weak script, but I don't understand why that other crew is not trying to help Miracles,
Yeah,
is all I'm trying to say.
because they're no good, you know. They're man. That's like what Ozone and Turbo could go. That's the road they could go down if they didn't have Miracles to turn to, you know, man. Because drugs don't exist in this universe. Street violence
No,
doesn't exist.
especially in
A
1980s LA, there are zero
right.
drugs.
Like a grittier version of this movie would absolutely have all of that in play, which I think Step Up does and Save the Last Dance does, like actually
Like
bring in those.
Ozone would definitely be selling pot somewhere, or some,
Yeah.
or cocaine or something.
I mean, it's the 80s. He's selling crack. And there definitely would be some like sort of plot about how like it would be explicit that like Miracles is what's keeping us out of gangs. That if we didn't have
Yes.
Miracles to turn to, we would have to turn to
Everyone
these
would be in
gangs for
jail
support. Right, yeah.
or dead or something.
Right. But I want to go back to something that they said, Rich Evans from Red Letter Media, when they talked about this movie, he was like, I like to imagine that in the universe of Star Trek, where we live in this like utopian future, this is what planet Earth is. Everybody just chilling
Oh.
and vibing and dancing together.
Okay. I
And
mean, I'm here for that.
it is kind of like, yeah, that is what a utopian future would look like, is just people dancing and supporting the arts together.
I do want to say though, we haven't really talked about the music, 'cause like there's so much to talk about. But there
Yeah.
is a lot of songs. There are a couple performances in this. However, comma, I feel like this is in the same boat as Teen Witch, where it's almost a musical,
Yeah.
but like the music informs things, or like it helps with the 70 billion montages in this.
Yeah, it feels like a musical universe just without the characters singing.
Right. I mean, like, yes, there's when they go
There's
to
Ice T.
Radiotron, the club or whatever that is.
Yeah.
There's a song called Radiotron, which I wrote
Every club should have its own theme song that, and they just play that every night,
down
like
Sting.
named after the
Yeah,
club.
so that's what I wrote down. I was like, are they singing the club's theme song? Like, or is this just so happened to be inspired by the club or something? You know, it was weird.
Or the club is named after that song because it's like the owner's favorite song.
But and then there's a Reckless Rival. Okay, so these are the song titles I found on Wikipedia, I feel like. At some point on IMDb, they have other titles. When you Google them, there's another title. I didn't watch this on Prime. I watched this on Max, where there's no X-ray, but I feel like if you watch it on Prime, they're gonna call it something else. So like Reckless Rivalry, when it's the dance battle between the two gangs or crews or whatever they classify themselves as. I literally wrote down, I know I'm supposed to su suspend my disbelief, but there is no way in hell this dance is improvised. Because, I mean, honestly, if to be a little hypercritical about the choreography in this, though, great, they did it. you can tell that they are going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah, they're
you know,
one,
like
two
they're
in it. They're one, two in it.
Yeah, they're de they're
Three,
definitely
four, three,
count
four.
they're going through the counts in their head. Because I guess is I mean, and that is also because of the fast filming that they had with this.
Yeah, they didn't have enough time to make it look natural.
I'm sure Kelly was filming this and Ninja 3 Domination at the same time. Like, just go.
Which
And she's in this movie a lot too, which is wild to think about.
Yeah. And I have not seen that movie, but I have seen various YouTube reviewers
video
who I
essays.
Follow, video essays that show clips of that movie. And she plays an aerobics instructor who gets possessed by a ninja. So she still has to do aerobics.
I've listened to that How Did This Get Made episode multiple times.
Great, great.
I still have not seen this movie.
She is still doing full blown aerobics. And then also, like, martial arts, but with, like, effects, like, where she, like, has to be, like, in a harness or something. And, like, I cannot imagine the physical toll the year 1984 took on this poor woman. Like, I don't know how she did it. I just don't. I get tired thinking about it.
She just did. She just did
She just
it.
Did. And you know what? God love her for it. She is, to me, she is a star.
Also, there's another song in this called Din Da Da that,
ding, da, da, ding, da,
that
ding,
yeah,
da,
the
ding,
Ying
da,
Yang
da.
Twins totally sampled them.
Yes, they did.
And like, this is not my first time watching this. So like, when I first saw it, I did like the, oh my God, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I feel like these songs were written for the movie, much like Teen Witch.
Teen Witch. Yeah.
Yeah. And didn't you say that Teen Wolf as well had songs written for the
yes.
movie?
Teen Wolf.
But that's less musically than Teen Witch.
Yes.
If you will.
It was basically, and Teen Witch, the company that produced Teen Witch did something similar, did a similar process where instead of licensing, paying for the licenses to pre-existing music, they just had some, it was cheaper to hire somebody to write quickly write music for their movies. And then that way they could also tailor it to be more specifically about what's happening in the movie, which is, you know, not really something I necessarily like if it's not literally a musical, because it just makes it feel like a music video instead of a movie, but that's neither here nor there. Teen Witch, we talked about how they kind of wanted to make it a musical.
Yeah,
and
because I
then
think at one point
didn't.
Debbie Gibson was supposed to be involved and she
Yes.
wasn't. So then they were like,
Yes.
okay, Robin Lively, I guess you can't sing. So we're still going to kind of
Yeah.
make it a musical.
So I
we'll have a
wonder.
40-year-old do top that with hats.
With
See, that one was hats. This is belts.
I'm making the connections now. All
Although
right.
I do have to say, though, a lot of the costumes that the kids, quote unquote, like the like Kelly, Turbo, Ozone, all of them
Yeah.
were wearing, so fly. I fucking love them.
There are so many outfits that I'm like, I want to wear that right
this
now.
This is what, since
I love all the zippers. So many zippers.
When we were in the 80s renaissance of like the like with Stranger Things and all that, I was like, this is what you should have been copying.
Yeah. Go
because this
for
is
it.
real. This is
Yeah.
it. This is them saying this is what kids are wearing today. I don't know if that's true or not, because 1984 is way before my time.
Right. I love all of the like leotards that also look like they're made out of shredded t-shirts that Kelly wears.
Yes, the jackets. The one jacket that she wears over like a sports bra or a.
Yes. Oh yeah, that like lime green.
Yes.
Yes, love it. And it's the black and white like zigzags or something. It's awesome.
Something, yeah. Turbo wearing the marching band jackets. Fucking loved
Yes.
it.
I would wear every single one of those jackets. When Ozone is on top of Miracles, like hanging up the sign that's like save our streets,
Oh
and he's
my
wearing
God.
that like red like long vest, I guess it is, with all the zippers on it, and like the
So cool.
fedora. Sorry, he looks so dope in that scene. I
But
want that so
again,
bad.
that choreography just felt a little too
Yeah, it was
slow.
okay. Yeah.
Like a little too, because I don't know if he's like a dancer per se. I think he's more of a hip hop dancer, not like a jazz dancer, like how Lucinda Dickey looked like. She was more into jazz and potentially ballet.
And like, can we talk about how rubber her legs looked on some of those kicks? Her
God.
legs looked like they were straight up made of rubber. I don't understand it. Like, it shouldn't be physically possible. These people are miracle workers to me.
Oh, miracles.
Hey.
Is there anything else though you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
No.
Great. Let's do it.
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. Let's start with flats because I have more sharps, and let's end on a high note.
Okay.
Do you mind if I go first with my
Yeah, go
flats?
ahead.
My first flat is a flat for one of the choreography or some choreography. Ozone, when they do that weird daydream dance with the doll. So I'm flatting though, the choreography that he has with the doll in the beginning is very different than what he has with the women. So like,
Okay,
because then
so
what
it doesn't
happens
match up.
later is that they match up everything. But
Yeah.
like you clearly see him like dicking around having fun while Turbo is envisioning. Again, magical realism happens in that scene where Turbo envisions both Kelly and I believe like, again it's I think her name is Rosa, his soon-to-be girlfriend, the girl that he has a crush on and everything.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, on the flip side, I did sharp that that whole sequence because I thought it was cool. I liked it.
Okay. Okay.
So that's a sharp that I'm throwing in there right now. I'm also flatting. This goes without saying, but I'm always gonna bring it up. I'm gonna flat the racism in this, especially with Kelly's dad, Derek, and that one white nurse. I think it was the
Oh,
overweight
yeah.
nurse, and maybe some other people, like the other adulty characters who are sprinkling in their racism in this. So, like, yeah, we're gonna flat all that. I'm also
So,
flatting Rosa's dubbing. It was bad. It was bad. And then my
yeah.
last flat is for not showing like the whole choreography. The camera is not showing it, or they edit, they cut to somebody else, and you're like, but I want to see the dancing. This is a dance movie. Like, for fuck's sake, this is. And a lot of the dancing that they have is not shown. It's very upsetting in some scenes. So that's my flats.
Okay.
Like, you understand what I'm saying, right? Like, I mean,
Yeah.
I would hope you're picking up.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. It's so hard to film and edit dance sequences because you want to show the whole body, but you want to show the face.
But I'd rather just
It's
see
so.
the dancing happening, not a reaction shot from the audience.
Right, but you also want to, in a movie, you want to build an idea of the universe around them. You don't want these people to exist in a frame by themselves. So I don't disagree with you, and I think it's mostly that it's not very well balanced, is that it's a product of it being shot so quickly.
Yes.
And them not really being careful about what kind of coverage they're picking up and how it's actually going to fit into the edit.
They're
Because
like,
you
what's a
also
story?
want to
What?
edit on the beat to the music too, but you don't want to be
Yeah.
exactly on the beat because then it feels too music video-y. It's very hard to film a dance sequence
Oh, of
properly.
course. Yeah.
And especially at that time, they weren't using, like, they don't have the camera technology that we have now where you could more easily track someone's movements fully, and be able to get a closer shot of them that also still moves with their face. You couldn't really do that as well back then.
Anyway, what are your flats? If you have any. I mean,
I do. I'm gonna. I did not like the dubbing on her voice. It was like she sounded like a cartoon
she sounded
character.
like this, and it was, and it was,
Oh,
and they did a stereotypical accent with her, and you're
yeah.
like, oh
And
no,
it made it feel
I don't
more
speak
uncomfortable that
English.
she's the only character who doesn't speak English and they have to dub her. And like, it's like, but why did you do that?
There was a
Did she
IMDb
not sound
fact,
good?
IMDb trivia, where they said that her, the actor's voice was, she wasn't projecting, or she was very quiet. She has a quiet voice, and I was like, I don't buy
Yeah.
that. Something fucked up.
Yeah.
Maybe the cocaine kicked in with the filmmakers, and they're like, oh no, we got to do her voice. I don't speak English. Oh, ooh,
So conceptually, I like the idea behind the doll scene. I did not like the execution of the doll scene at all. And I don't like that it ended up with a haha, no homo type joke. But that's also 1984, par for the course. It wasn't as homophobic as it could have been.
we'll take what we can get at this point. Yeah,
We will take what we can get.
it's like diet right racism, no references to drugs, but like they're there, and then the weird homophobia, but like not question mark.
Yeah,
This
they're
film
kind
is,
of having fun with it. Just bros having fun with it. No homo. It's fine.
yeah, we're playing with a doll that randomly is in our
Yeah.
bedroom.
The doll even existing creeps me out. What are they doing with that thing?
I don't know. Maybe it's Rhonda who gave it to
Oh
Ozone
my
to be
God.
like, think of me.
Yeah. I'm also going to flat. I don't think Rhonda was a necessary inclusion in the movie at all. I don't think she really
Again,
presented a unique complication to the conflict or anything.
I feel like that could have also been another byproduct of, I mean, a lot of our flats, it sounds like it's going to be the byproduct of the
Yeah.
rushed nature of this and the fact
Yeah.
that they are writing the script as they are filming it.
Right.
So,
I mean, it's a very sloppy movie. There's nothing neat and
no,
tidy about
but
this
like there's a
movie at
lot of,
all.
there's a backbone there, I feel like. Like they had a pretty strong outline, maybe, and they just worked off of that. 'Cause
There
like,
was.
I understand the character of Rhonda. Like, yes, let's, because there's a weird sexual tension with Kelly and Ozone that is never defined. And Rhonda, if she is the girl, Ozone's girlfriend,
Yeah, it's not set
cool.
up. Yeah, it's not
That
set up
makes
properly at all.
sense.
She's also so aggressive to Kelly and not to Ozone, if it is the case that she is dating Ozone. But I don't think she's dating Ozone. I really don't.
Right.
Nothing. I got the impression that she just wants to be dating him, or like they're exes and she's just like not accepting the reality that he broke up with her.
Yeah. Any other flats?
So I don't know anything about this production in particular, but a lot of the business practices in the Candon Group at this time, not exactly above board.
Okay.
There were a lot of cases of people not getting paid for their work,
That sounds
simply
right.
because they did not have the financing, because they started making movies before they secured financing, and they did that a lot, which is why they blew up. But so I'm just going to flat the potential that any crew member or cast member did not get properly compensated for this movie, not knowing that that is the case, but I do know that that's the case on some of their other projects.
I mean, if that's their MO, it most likely happened on
Yeah.
this one.
Yeah. I just don't want to like say it definitely. I'll just say that for not that for this movie in particular, but for canon.
I mean, I will believe that they are non-union.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get into sharps.
Wait, can I do a natural?
Oh,
Because I have one
you have a
natural.
natural. I'm
I
sorry.
do.
Okay,
I
so every
do.
hold on, let me give you a segue. So every once in a while, we have what we like to call a natural. It's neither a sharp nor a flat. In your case, is it both, or is it just a
No,
like a it's a
it's like just
thing?
a neutral observation.
So it's something
It's
that you just
exciting
needed to
to
talk about
me.
some more, yeah.
It's just very brief thing that I couldn't work out anywhere else in the conversation. But the
Okay.
pillowcase in the doll scene with the rainbow stripes on it,
Yeah.
I, which, you know, grand irony that that is the scene with the gay joke. But I had that exact pillowcase as a kid.
I
And
love it.
I needed to exercise that thought into the world, out of
That's
my
a
mind and into the
great
world.
natural, actually.
Okay, awesome.
Okay, sharps. So I sharped the costumes,
Yes.
as we talked about.
Yes.
I also,
Handcuff belt.
yeah, that's very like specific handcuff, like you see the handcuffs. I also sharped Miss Snyder and Kelly's mom to a degree.
Yeah, they were
In
close.
a world of white men, we have white women who are,
Doing
unlearning
their
their
best.
biases
Yes.
to help out these kids, to help out
Yes.
Miracles,
And
or to
Miss
help out
Snyder is
the
really
cat.
trying.
She really is trying. And even Kelly's mom, like we said, is really trying. And
Yeah.
that's all we're asking for, is people to
Yeah.
try, you know?
We don't expect people to be perfect. We just want people to try.
I also did sharp the street festival as a whole. Like I like there was some really cool overhead shots that they have that I was like, that's cool. Like that's what I want to see of the dancing, when you
Yeah.
can. And then I also sharp the following performances. When I See You, which is the hospital one, like that was so cool. And then a fucking chorus, I'm sharping, I don't want to come down, because
I mean,
I watched that on YouTube a lot.
yeah, it's so good.
It's
It's
so
really
good.
good.
Yeah. What about you? What were your sharps?
I also sharp the rotating room and the hospital. And in particular, I want to sharp the nurses, the sexy nurses. I just think they add so much to the movie, despite not existing in the rest of it.
They revived a guy. Yes.
They brought him, he was flatlining, and they brought him back to life.
I mean, also, they distracted the doctors while they were operating on
Right.
him.
It could have really gone the other way. It really could have gone the other way. Maybe those doctors shouldn't be surgeons anymore. Maybe they need to,
Yeah, no. Any other
Yeah.
sharps?
Well, so again, talking about the wholesomeness of this movie, which is really something that makes it an outlier in Cannon's thing. Cannon's like main thing that they're known for was just being really sleazy.
Yeah.
Lots of naked boobies, lots of over the top violence. I
A
wanted to.
whole giant prologue sequence in the Apple that was inevitably cut and would have explained a lot.
Yeah. But like, so they were really going after lowest common denominator stuff. And I think this movie has a real sweetness to it. There was one quote from the Electric Boogaloo documentary that I wanted to bring up. So David Delval, who I believe was a script supervisor on several of their productions, he said about Cannon, what they didn't have in taste, they made up for in enthusiasm. Which I think is a really, really great quote for what they are in general. They really, really had poor taste in a lot of cases. And I don't even mean like questionable taste. I mean like they were making stuff that's like downright like, I think somebody may have been sexually assaulted on camera and you released it as a movie.
Oh my God.
Like really questionable stuff.
Yeah.
But they really were enthusiastic. They wanted so bad to make movies. They are probably the two men in the world who most wanted to make movies, and I don't mean they wanted to make good movies, they just wanted to make them regardless of the quality.
They are artists.
And,
I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying they're just artists that want to create art. In the simplest yeah, definition.
They also may have been con artists, let's be real. And I think that enthusiasm, though, that telltale enthusiasm is so evident in this movie, and it makes it so fun to watch. There really is such a joy here. I get the feeling that all of the people working on it really liked each other. Oh, wait, one more sharp.
Okay.
Casting actual dancers.
Oh,
I think
yes.
A dance movie, yes, the acting will be questionable, but in a dance movie, your selling point should be the dancing. And oh boy, does it suck when you cast an actor who can't dance in a dance movie. I love, love, love all of the dancing in this movie. And that's because they cast real dancers.
Would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
That's the only one.
I didn't write that one down. I wrote down, I wrote Electric Boogaloo. I Don't Want to Come Down. That song was also a bop, I will say.
That's a good song. You're right. I'll add that too.
I also did like When I See You, because that was also pretty boppy. And then I Believe in the Beat, which is the song that bookends this movie.
Yes, yes. That's a good one too. You know what? You're right. I'm adding those two that you mentioned.
Well,
but mostly, just like lives in the back of my head.
Of course. Now I'm going to do the Ying Yang Twins, you know, the shake, 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 shake. Yeah. But on that note, Shady, we are done with the episode.
Oh my goodness.
You know,
I'm sad about it.
As sad as you are that now Miracles is an Amazon warehouse.
Where the workers aren't allowed to take a bathroom break.
Oh no. Oh, but what do you have to plug or promote?
All right. I am going to plug my Twitter account at Cookie O'Shady. My Instagram, I think, is also at Cookie O'Shady.
It is.
I don't know. Okay, great. And my sister and I started a podcast this summer. We'll see how it goes. It's called I Love the 90s. And it is a podcast for two people exactly. And those two people are the two people hosting it. But you can check it out too. It's fine.
And your good friend, John.
Yes.
If you have any more information on the backstory of Breakin' and Breakin' 2, like with the characters, I don't mean like any of the shady bullshit that Shady herself mentioned.
Not behind the scenes.
Not behind the scenes. The actual like, or if you have your hands on the outline for this, please just let me know. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. What did you think of the rotating room dance sequence? I mean, surprisingly, we only mentioned it that one chunk and then in sharps, but like,
I mean,
honestly,
I could have talked,
we could have talked the whole hour about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, it's still my pick and we're going to be talking about Song of the Thin Man. Woo! There's a reason, and you'll have to wait and see. Shady, thank you so much for coming back on. It's always a pleasure.
Like, thank you.
I knew you were going to love this. I mean, you've seen this movie before, right?
I haven't seen this one. I've seen bits of it, but I hadn't seen it in full. I'd seen the first one. The one
I'm so happy now, because I had a movie on you.
No, you absolutely did. I'd seen parts of it, but I don't think I've ever actually seen the whole thing. I did not recognize most of the hospital scene. Outside of like what I'd seen on like Cinema Snob or Best of the Worst.
Got it.
Like, well, the clips that they showed, but.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.